Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Sidekick.
Yarr!
Today is May 14th, 2017, and this is episode 137, looking forward to E3. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
Today, we are preparing for E3. Of course, you might be saying to yourself, stop! Why are you recording this so early before E3? First off, I have to remind you, we cannot hear you when you talk to yourself while you're listening to our show. Sorry about that. But also, we really wanted to get a little bit ahead of the curve. You know, we typically do our E3 preview episode like a week before E3, and that kind of typically means we don't really get to theorize and guess at a whole lot. So we're trying something a little different this year. We're doing it a little earlier, exactly 1 month out of E3 this year. That way, you know, we don't really have an idea of what Ubi's going to be bringing. We don't really know what Squeenix is going to be bringing. And so, you know, some of this stuff that we are guessing at today and, hoping for today, we will know whether we're getting or not before E3 comes to pass. But we think this will make for a more fun episode than previous years. So let's get to it. Slaggy, you want to get us started with our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits?
Yeah, Dissidia Arcade got a new character in its May update, X-Death from Final Fantasy V.
Yes! X-Death, obviously, a character featured in previous iterations of Dissidia, a well-liked character in other versions, but something that's really interesting is that for Dissidia, apparently he's been given an overhaul and has a lot more damaging physical attacks than he used to. So it looks like he plays a good bit differently, and I think that's going to be really exciting.
Excellent.
We also have word here that the game previously known as Project Mekuru will be releasing on the Japanese eShop as Battle Force Mekuru this upcoming May 18th. That is Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was quick.
Right? I'm really excited, though. You know, we had noted previously, I think this game looks super fun. I have to assume that it will be coming out worldwide this Thursday, but if it only comes out to the Japanese eShop, well, Switch is region free.
Yeah.
We also have word here that Shantae, Half Genie Hero, will be getting a Switch port as well. It's going to include over 150 different events in-game that will make use of the HD Rumble feature of the Switch, and this will be releasing sometime this summer.
Excellent. Inti Creates has announced that Blaster Master Zero has reached 80,000 downloads as of May 10th.
That's very exciting. You know, I think a lot of people weren't really sure how Blaster Master Zero was going to do, especially the Switch version. So to see it really coming through as a medium hit, actually for the budget, you could probably call it a big hit. That's definitely encouraging. And obviously, a lot of publishers are finding Nintendo Switch gamers buy games. Like, I know the stigma is, LOL, Nintendo console owners only buy Nintendo games, but the first days of Switch have not borne that out. We saw, obviously, Konami making a killing. We talked about that last week. Now we have Inti Creates making a killing. This is definitely good news for future Nintendo Switch support, if nothing else.
Yeah.
We also have word here. Bandai Namco, in their most recent financial results, doubled down on the idea of Nintendo Switch releases for Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse 2, Taiko no Tetsujin, and a new Tales of game.
Ooh.
Of course, we say Tales of, it needs to be noted. We don't know that it's a new Tales of game, just that it's a Tales of game coming to Switch in 2017.
Oh, wow.
So, the big Tales Festival is coming up. This is going to be June 2nd through 4th in Japan, so we'll know probably in just a couple of weeks what Tales game Switch is getting. I have my fingers crossed for, like, Zestiria or Berseria, maybe, but I could be down with, anything, I guess. Is there a Tales game you're hoping we get?
I mean, I just think that more support for the Switch is good. And we know that Bandai Namco are good partners with Nintendo, so this is a good sign.
Indeed. We also have word here that the North American release of Summon Night 6, which was previously going to be coming to the PlayStation 4 and Vita on May 23rd, has been delayed. Victor Ireland, whom of course all of y'all hardcores going back may remember from Working Designs, his current company Gaijin Works, who is handling the localization of Summon Night 6, has noted that they actually have not received the final ROM of the game from the Japanese developers. So, game has been delayed for Western release. At some point, we will get it, but until they get the proper final ROM, they will not be releasing it, and it's hard to fault them that. We also have word that Vanquish, the well-loved game by Platinum Games, is following suit of Bayonetta and getting a PC port. This is going to be releasing on Steam on May 25th, and people who purchase the PC version of Bayonetta and pre-order Vanquish will get a 15% discount on Vanquish. Don't worry, though, if you haven't bought Bayonetta, although shame on you, because the game's price is actually just going to be $19.99, which is obviously not too bad anyway.
Excellent.
Digging into some release date news, we also have word that the new Konosuba game will be releasing on PS4 and PS Vita in Japan on September 7th. Schoolgirls Mobile will be releasing on iOS and Android devices on May 25th worldwide. Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 3 will be releasing on PS4 in Japan on September 28th. Resident Evil Code Veronica X released last week as a PS2 classic on PS4. And last but not least, the upcoming free-to-play update to Secret World, this is Secret World Legends, will be launching on June 26th. Slaggy, do you have any other updates?
Nope, so I think it's time for news. 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 Oh my god, news.
Oh my god. All right, the first piece of news we have here is that at the upcoming Bit Summit event in Japan, which specifically takes place in Kyoto on May 20th and 21st, Intic Creates will be announcing two new games for the Nintendo Switch. Actually, we don't strictly know that they will both be Switch projects. We know that they will both be Nintendo platforms, and that Switch fans should keep an eye open. But we don't technically know that these are going to be two Switch titles, I guess.
Still exciting.
It's super exciting. Anything else to say about that?
Nope, but we do have some unfortunate news. Nintendo Badge Arcade updates will be coming to an end as of May 26th, so there will be no new badges after that update.
Aw, man. Apparently, the save data capacity for the Nintendo Badge Arcade has reached its limit. Of course, you know, this sucks. A lot of people really love playing Nintendo Badge Arcade. I really hope they have something coming like this for the Switch, because it was such a cute idea. It has to have made Nintendo some money, and, you know, it's just fun. I know a lot of people who are, like, religious about following Nintendo Badge Arcade updates. I hope those people continue getting catered to.
Yeah.
We also have word of an upcoming collaboration project between the developers of Parappa the Rapper and Gitaru Man. This is, of course, super exciting. This is called Project Rap Rabbit, and we don't know a whole lot about it other than it will be a rhythm action-adventure game.
Super hype.
Yeah, I'm so hype about this. You know, I'm a big fan of Gitaru Man. INIS is developing. I'm a huge fan. They were obviously also involved in, you know, Oendan and what have you. It goes without saying that Matsura-san, who's behind Parappa the Rapper, Vib Ribbon.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, Onsha.
Exactly so. You know, they have this, the creatives behind this project have a hell of a pedigree. I should say, have hell of pedigrees. I don't even know how I would phrase that. All I do know, gonna be a great game. Super excited. We also have word here that One Piece Unlimited World Red Deluxe has been both announced and dated for PS4 and Switch. This is going to be an enhanced version of the 2013 release One Piece Unlimited World Red, releasing on Switch, PS4. Will also now have a two-player same screen co-op, which is exciting, as well as new game content. What was that?
I'm just like, oh god, has it been that long? I remember reporting on that.
Right? So, I'm actually super excited, you know, between this and Xenoverse 2 coming to Nintendo Switch. It sounds like Switch is going to be getting all of the Shonen Jump games moving forward.
Yeah.
Which, for me, again, super exciting. I'm happy to import, use the Japanese eShop to download this stuff day one. Being able to take these games with me and play them on the go makes me so much more open to experimenting interacting with them and playing them. Whereas in other generations, I might have been like, it would be nice to have these, but I don't really have the time for it. Well, what about you, Saigi? How do you feel about Nintendo Switch getting more of these jump games?
Yeah, I mean, being able to bring them over to the studio or on the go, I mean, it's making every game appealing, but especially stuff that I would mostly want to play with friends, you know? So,
yeah.
The Dragon Quest Summer Festival will be taking place in Japan on August 5th and 6th to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the franchise. The event will be free, but if you want to participate in the Dragon Quest X 5th anniversary celebration stage area with celebrity guests and more, it'll set you back 2,000 yen.
Excellent. That's only about 20 bucks, so I mean, that's not too bad. The last piece of news we have here, and I actually was saving this one for Slaggy, but poor guy is fighting off some allergies at the moment, so I don't want him to have to talk more than necessary. We have an interesting news piece here about an NPC who was stuck for 263 in-game years in a game of Roller Coaster Tycoon, escaping what is being called the Park Maze from Hell. Slaggy, do you want to talk about this? I don't have the context that you have about what makes this so hilarious.
Right, so hedge mazes were one of the attractions added in Roller Coaster Tycoon. They're a gentle ride, you know, just like a little maze that you have to navigate through and find the exit. You know, kind of like a corn maze, I guess. This person, Rogue Leader 23, had created a maze that is extremely huge, and it was with the open source version of Roller Coaster Tycoon 2, because otherwise I don't think the game could have handled it. So basically, this maze is so large that it takes forever to find the exit, and one NPC finally made it out after 263 years in-game.
Wow!
Obviously. I mean, I've seen things like, this kind of harkens back to Mr. Bone's Wild Ride, which was a what they call a like a ghost ride or whatever, which is kind of like, you know, like a haunted house ride, just a slow ride that took very, very long, and people were like, I want to get off Mr. Bone's Wild Ride. So it's just it's funny to see when people work around the parameters of the way that this game is, you know, more or less intended to operate, which is to actually simulate a real theme park by making things that are like humanly impossible, like rides that take hundreds of years to complete.
Indeed. All right, well, I want to move this along a little bit here and start up our Culture Club. Culture Club, of course, is a segment where we talk about news stories currently going on that affect the larger world of gaming. This first one is a really interesting piece. It's over on Silicon Era. It's called The Rise and Fall of the Yokai Watch Boom That Took Japan by Storm. This is a really lengthy piece. I actually thought it was really interesting piece. Had a lot of hard numbers and data to back up sort of the discussion that they're having, which I obviously appreciate. That almost might make it like also my hit pick for Smash Hit this week. But it's basically a look at how Yokai Watch came in and swept Japan off its feet and then very quickly kind of fizzled out. And, you know, I mean, we say fizzled out, but they're still raking in billions of yen a year. However, it's kind of on a break outside of some little mobile games at the moment. Yokai Watch definitely not as big as it was a while back. I saw very little Yokai Watch anything while I was in Japan. And considering just a couple years ago, it was effing everywhere, but the tides have definitely turned back in the favor of Pokemon between the two. Pokemon was, you know, all over the place when I was there. Went to the Poke Centers. They were super packed. By comparison, at the Namja Town, which is like the Namco Bandai, like, amusement area, we went to a Yuri on Ice cafe that was being hosted in Namja Town, but they did have some Yokai Watch presence there at Namja Town, and there's a really cool, like, interactive game where, like, you could go around Namja Town using, like, a light gun almost, and, like, through the scope of the light gun, you could find, like, various yokai around.
Oh, that's cute.
And, you know, I saw a couple of families, mostly little kids, playing that. Otherwise, very little Yokai Watch love anywhere. So it's definitely interesting to see that contextualized here with numbers, because this is something that had already been on my mind a little bit. It's like, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about, you know, Pokemon had a really big year last year, so, I mean, naturally, these, it comes in waves. I mean, Pokemon's had its time times where it's been kind of lesser in popularity, and there's always going to be something that's going to be the next Pokemon killer, but Pokemon has lasted this long, and it's an evergreen franchise, and I'm sure Yo-Kai Watch will continue to do well. I mean, Level 5 knows what they're doing with their franchises, but they're also trying to focus on, like, Snack World and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you make a good point. Like, Pokemon has also experienced its ebbs and its flows, and I think really seeing if Yo-Kai Watch will bounce back from this will be where we learn if it is a true evergreen franchise like Pokemon, if it will just experience an ebb and flow, or if this is the end of Yo-Kai Watch. I don't think it's likely to be the end, but it could be.
Yeah,
either way,
we'll
stay tuned.
Level 5 kind of goes in waves. I mean, when's the last time we really heard a lot about Fantasy Life, for example?
That's a good point. Although, presumably, we will be hearing more of that as the Fantasy Life 2 finally comes out someday.
That's true.
We also have word here that Deadly Premonition got a board game put up on Kickstarter, and after one day, the game has already been more than fully funded by about $27,000.
Wow.
Interestingly, you know, Deadly Premonition, a game a lot of us sort of wrote off as Kusoge when it came out, I ended up, actually, when I gave it a fair chance, really enjoying it. It is kind of sloppy, but it's probably the closest I've ever seen a video game get to being, like, Twin Peaks the game, and that's something I'm really into. Not surprised that so many people, connected with the game. I am surprised that so many people backed Deadly Premonition, the board game. What do you think, Slaggy?
I mean, Sweary65 has his cult fans, and so, I mean, I'm surprised at how fast it got funded, but in a way, you know, not totally surprised.
Excellent. And, you know, a lot of people, I guess, were backing at reasonably high amounts, although it does need to be noted, they have something like 1,200 backers at the end of day one, so that, I mean, that's already a lot.
Wow.
But apparently pledges of $3 will include a free copy of Deadly Premonition Director's Cut on Steam. So if you've never played it before, this might be a good way to get it cheap.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We do have some controversial news this week, though, so I want to go over there on our segment called...
Controversial.
Oh my god.
So this first piece of controversial news relates to the fact that by the time you hear this, Alan Wake will no longer be available to purchase. Unfortunately, Remedy Software, the developers behind Alan Wake, have to pull the game from Steam and Xbox Live effective Monday, May 15th, due to a music licensing issue. Of course, we do not know what song this issue is coming from. Alan Wake has a ton of licensed music by David Bowie, Depeche Mode, and tons of others. But when the game came out, you know, 7 years ago to the date, which is likely why this is coming out, they probably thought that signing a contract for this licensing deal for 7 years would have been enough. I don't think people really had the forethought and foresight that they really needed for negotiating digital stuff. You know, even just 7 years ago, and probably not even today. I expect we'll be having a lot of conversations like this moving forward.
Yeah.
Slaggy, what's your take?
Like you said, it's something that we wouldn't have even really thought about in the past, you know? So it's just interesting that these are the types of issues that developers need to be keeping in mind when they're, you know, making creative decisions like this.
Indeed. Well, I mean, it's sort of not worth mentioning here because by the time this episode goes live, this sale will be over, but it's currently on sale at 90% off on Steam. So if you don't have Alan Wake right this moment, I hope you have it by the time this episode goes live. Time is weird. The other really, really controversial thing that I want to talk about is that there's a pretty big rumor out there that has been substantiated by pretty much all of the big games media. Apparently, BioWare Montreal has been scaled down and the Mass Effect series is going on hiatus. It's very unlikely, of course, that Mass Effect as a series will be killed off and you know, stopped altogether. But apparently, due to the disappointing response to Andromeda at launch, the series is going to be put on ice. All of BioWare BioWare's folks that had worked on the game out of Montreal are being reassigned to other studios across EA. It definitely does not sound too good for the folks over at BioWare right now, or for Mass Effect and its fans. Sly, what's your take on this one?
So I haven't played Andromeda yet. I've heard how polarizing it is, and it's just unfortunate because BioWare's taken a lot of heat for Mass Effect over the years. I almost wonder if they're just going to go and make Mass Effect 4 when they finally do bring back the series.
That'll be interesting. I think what's more likely is that we'll just Mass Effect will just sit with no attention for 4 or 5 years, and then whenever the generation for PS5 and Xbox 2 or whatever, Nintendo Switch 2, you know, the next gen basically, I think we'll see a Mass Effect reboot at that point. I think everything we know and love about Mass Effect is over. We'll see a reboot, possibly as like a first-person shooter or something.
Interesting.
I think, unfortunately, that's the way the cycle goes in this industry way too often. Even games that are like kind of successful but not as successful as the publisher wanted, stuff like Prey ends up getting completely overhauled and changed and released as something that is similar in name only. I'm worried that's what's going to happen to Mass Effect. I really hope I'm wrong.
I mean, I could see them going for a piece of the Destiny pie.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, a Mass Effect skinned Destiny essentially is something I'd be interested in, but I really like Mass Effect as it is. So it's tricky for me. It's tricky for me. If any of y'all out there in Internet Radio Land have any thoughts, we'd love to hear them. Tweet at us your thoughts on Mass Effect Andromeda and the future of Mass Effect. It's also been very controversial that a recent PC mod for Nier Automata has a piracy check. Basically, this mod, and you know, the mod is very open about the fact that it does this. What it does is, first off, fixes a bunch of technical issues with the game's PC release, but it checks to confirm that you're actually playing a copy bought from Steam and not just a pirate copy. If you're playing a pirate copy, then the mod refuses to work. And basically, a lot of people are super mad about this for reasons that I can't entirely figure out. I've seen a lot of people talking online on GAF and on Reddit, and you know, people on GAF get banned for saying things like this, but basically people saying, you know, that they downloaded the game and it's not really the modder's business how they got it. And it's like, I'm sorry, but this modder doesn't want you using his tool to fix your shitty broken game. You're like, why is that a bad thing?
Yeah,
I don't know. This is
pirate.
A struggle for me because I love pirates aesthetically.
Pirates.
Yeah, but like stealing game software, that shit ain't cute. We literally were just talking about a news story where a game that did sell millions still didn't sell enough to meet publisher expectation, and now people are having to relocate their families to move to other studios and work. Like, fuck all y'all pirates. Fuck y'all pirates. Anything to add, Slaggy?
No, like, just like I said, I mean, I don't think that the modder is doing anything unethical.
You want to talk about another game that should have been hugely successful, but wasn't?
Oh, you mean Eggmania?
Not quite. Basically, this past week, Square Enix announced that they are going to be withdrawing from the business of IO Interactive. IO Interactive, of course, is best known for developing the Hitman games. The most recent Hitman game was an episodic release. Basically, every little download, every episode was like its own self-contained sandbox that you could play all of like the amazing gameplay that you've come to expect from Hitman, but like everything has like event things happening on specific days and times. Everybody in the world is competing with their high scores, very leaderboard based. I thought it was an incredibly fun game and an incredible experiment for like what kinds of emergent gameplay can be formed from the Hitman formula by creating these little sandboxes with, you know, different situations and what have you. I thought it was an incredible release. Basically every person I know who has played it has agreed, but apparently, much like we saw with the first Tomb Raider game that Crystal Dynamics released a few years ago, I mean the first one of the new series, obviously, that game had sold what, like 6 million copies and was still performing under expectation.
Right.
And now here we have this episodic game that, you know, still moved several hundred thousand units as an episodic release, so you know that's typically pretty cheap. IO these days, not a huge dev studio, still performed under expectation, so they're getting cut off completely.
That
sucks. Yeah, that sucks a lot. I'm super bummed about this. I thought that Hitman was an incredible effort. Really, truly fantastic game. There are some rumors going around that supposedly IO is going to be keeping the rights to Hitman and will continue the work that they've already done on Hitman Season 2. I have my fingers deeply crossed for that because I am not ready to say goodbye to Hitman. Like, they just finally figured out a way to make Hitman relevant and still work in the modern day. Let's keep that one around.
I mean, I could see someone like Deep Silver maybe jumping in.
Oh, yeah, that's a good guess, actually. I think that's probably likely. Sai, do you want to take this last one?
Yeah, so our smash hit this week is an article over on Kotaku called Video Game Makes Banging a Half Lion Leather Daddy Surprisingly Normal. This is by Dan Starkey over at Kotaku, and this is actually an article about the updated release of Read Only Memories called 2064 Read Only Memories. Notably, it came to PS4 with this content release, voice acting, and some new story elements and all of that, and one of the additions is a character that was originally planned, and I mean, because not that I have insider information, but, you know, I've been following the development of this game from the start.
And you have insider information.
No, I don't have insider information. I know the people who work on the game, but, I mean, I don't have industry secrets. But I do remember there was a lot of promotional art featuring this character, Crow.
Crow?
And he is a hybrid, which is, you know, one of the themes explored in the game. He's a half lion, half human, and basically, there's a interaction that you can have with him where he comes home with you and you can tie him up and he'll be submissive. So it was just, I thought it was a really good look at how, you know, queer developers are starting to, you know, include this type of content because larger developers aren't going to. It makes reference to Lady Killer in a Bind, which is a visual novel that explored a lot of kink themes, and that was pretty well received, at least, you know, in the indie and queer community.
Yeah, what I liked about this article, you know, it's essentially about sort of normalizing these kinds of queer experiences in games, and I think that that's something that people really need to start talking about. You know, it shouldn't be such a big deal when games do offer, you know, non-heterosexual options in games.
I mean, because if this was Kratos...
Non-vanilla game options.
If this was Kratos tying up and whipping some big booby ladies, like, gamer dudes would be like, oh, that's hot, bro.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it's expected that those games have that now, but it's still, like, notable and a big deal when LGBT options are included.
And, I mean, the thing is that the player character of Read Only Memories is never shown on the screen. It's it's a first person adventure game, visual novel sort of hybrid. And so, I mean, it's not even that necessarily that Crow, I mean, has to be queer. I mean, I'm pretty
sure that's a really good point.
I'm pretty sure he's pansexual in the canon of the game because you can. I mean, I don't think. I mean, it's not even really. I don't even know if it really matters. But, you know,
so maybe rather than saying you know, normalizing LGBT sexual content, I should just say
normalizing kink.
Normalizing kink, which, again, still something that's important. You know, people like the things that they like, and it's 2017. Like, maybe it's okay if our media reflects our tastes or the tastes of the people around us that we may not partake in ourselves.
Indeed.
All right. Well, all that having been said, I thought that was a really well-written article. I'd encourage you all to read it. We are now going to have our discussion. And what I want to do here, I just want to talk a little bit about the main people who are going to be playing at E3 this year. We're going to talk about what we want from them and what we realistically expect from them. We're going to start off with Nintendo, who announced their E3 plans earlier this week. They are going to be doing their Nintendo Digital event this year called the Nintendo Spotlight.
Saw a lot of people like freaking out over the change of terminology, but I'm like, I don't think it's going to be that different.
Yeah, I don't either. That'll be happening on June 13th at 9 a.m. Pacific. That'll be streaming over on e3.nintendo.com. And it's being categorized as a look at Nintendo Switch games for 2017, including Super Mario Odyssey. They will also be doing their now annual Nintendo Treehouse Live event at E3. It will be starting immediately after the Nintendo Spotlight, and they will be sharing Nintendo Switch and Nintendo 3DS gameplay with Treehouse members and developers. There will also be live tournaments running on June 13th and 14th for both Splatoon 2 and ARMS. So a whole lot going on at E3 from Nintendo this year. I remain super excited, as I always am, for their digital event. I am not even slightly bothered by the change in nomenclature. Saiki, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year obviously was a huge success for them, focusing just on Breath of the Wild. It sounds like they're going to be broadening their focus a little more this year, but I'm still, I mean, even if they just only focused on Super Mario Odyssey, I would be very okay with that, because I'm so excited for that game.
Dude,
and
right?
Seeing what types of things that they haven't announced about it that are in store for us. But also, you know, really cool to see Splatoon and ARMS getting a presence. And I've really come to enjoy the Treehouse content. I mean, I'm more likely to load up the Treehouse streams and see what's going on than, you know, I mean, because the thing is that I feel like there's been this attitude about Nintendo's presence at E3 once they stopped having a traditional press conference. But the thing is, once you have those big press events from the other big companies, that's kind of it. And then you hear some news trickle out from the news from the show floor through various, you know, games journalism sources. But with Nintendo, they're really providing more content and more in-depth look and showing everybody, a wider audience, more content than anyone else is.
Well, and we've talked about this over the years, but I actually think that Nintendo has revolutionized what you can do with E3. I know a lot of people out there still wish that they were doing the traditional big press event, keynote speech type thing. But by, as you mentioned, you know, really just having a constant flow of information going out, I think they've really changed the paradigm there for, like, what we get out of E3.
And what I want to know is, why do people, I mean, are they just clinging on to the old ways? Because, I mean, these E3 events are like, you know, the big wigs of the company, then they'll bring out some celebrity, and then there'll be a sizzle reel, and then they'll be like, how you doing, audience? I mean, it's like, it's really kind of outdated. And what I prefer about the way that Nintendo does it is that, you know, like, especially with the focus on the Treehouse, you get the people working on these games getting to really spotlight it, and instead of just having, you know, Reggie being like the Reggie and Miyamoto show, you know?
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's move on a little bit in terms of content. What do you think we will see? Like, what do you expect realistically to see out of Nintendo at E3?
I mean, you know, I'm sure that there's going to be... We do know a lot that's coming for Switch and 3DS this year, so I'm sure we're gonna, you know, see more of that. It's kind of hard to say, because I feel like Nintendo's been pretty good about communicating their release plans.
Yeah, well, we still don't know anything about Virtual Console, so I think we will be getting some information on that finally.
Oh, that's a good point. And just kind of their online system in general.
Oh, yeah. What else do you think we'll see out of them? I mean, I'm also putting money on a Smash reveal of some kind. If it isn't Smash 4 Switch, if it really is Smash 5, I still think we'll get our initial announcement there. Even if the game's like 2 years out, I think Smash traditionally is the one Nintendo franchise that we do hear about way in advance. And E3 has been the site where all but one of the Smash games has been announced.
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know if it's too soon or not, so...
Well, again, if the game is still a year or two out, then I think we would literally just get, like, a mention of it. Like, that's what we got for, was it Brawl? Where one of the, like, developer roundtables, they were like, oh yeah, by the way, Smash is happening for Wii. I think that was it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, this would be also a good time for whatever we know is something's brewing down at Retro Studios. So it'll just be interesting to see. I mean, the thing is that Nintendo, I mean,
they're kind of the hardest one to do these things for, because everything is always like, either we know about it or it is completely unexpected.
Well, the other thing is that I think the Wii U made it seem like Nintendo doesn't have a lot because it did not get third-party support. But, I mean, they could pull out a Mario Party, a Mario Tennis, a Paper Mario. I mean, they've got so many first-party franchises that, I mean, they really could pull out any of them and say, oh, it's coming to Switch.
Well, right. And then we have things like yesterday, there was a tweet out of Nintendo of America that referenced a new Fire Emblem Echoes game. That was probably a typo. Let me say, it was either a typo or they accidentally stealth announced Fire Emblem Echoes Path of Radiance, which would be a remake of Path of Radiance.
Oh.
That is, of course, the game that Ike is most well known from. It has been a big deal, you know, Ike in general. And, you know, as we've discussed recently, I believe, Intelligent Systems has said more Fire Emblem games coming, but for Switch. So they could have multiple Fire Emblem announcements at E3. I actually think that might be likely. I think we're going to get this Echoes announcement and get some announcements and hard information finally on Fire Emblem Warriors, because we know that's supposed to be coming this year. We don't know nothing about it, basically. And in fact, you know, there's some other Nintendo games where I feel like, you know, we know it's coming, but we don't know anything about it. Xenoblade 2 is a good example.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's funny because when I think about it, and I know I've been harping on this a lot, but I just feel like Nintendo has such a strong year one lineup going on right now. We've also had a lot of rumors about, apparently, Ubisoft has a crossover game of Mario and Rabbids.
Oh, yeah.
So if that's real, I would expect to see that at E3. But let's get away a little bit from what we expect. What do you want to hear about? Pie in the sky, if Nintendo could talk about anything, what would you want to hear about, Slaggy?
Metroid would be great. I would love to hear that Pokemon Stars is happening and coming this year. Oh gosh, I mean, Pie in the Sky is kind of tough because...
My forever Pie in the Sky will probably be Mother 3 on Virtual Console. I still believe, though.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing is that Nintendo has so much that they are bringing that I'm not as focused on, oh, well, I wish they would do this. I wish they would do this. I mean, I think Metroid is probably the big one that really needs a lot more love.
Yeah, I would agree there. What about Animal Crossing? You think there's any chance we'll see Animal Crossing anything?
Possibly, if it's in the next Animal Crossing title, might be just in the form of a little tease that, like, we're working on it. If there's anything that's further along in development, I feel like it would be more of a spin-off sort of title, or...
Well, let's keep in mind, how many years has it been since we got a mainline Animal Crossing game?
Well, it was New Leaf.
Yeah, so that's been, what, 5 years?
Has it been that? Because was that at the Wii U event before the Wii U even came out?
Possibly. I mean, it's been a really long time.
Or it might have not been when the Wii U came out. It was whenever the Kart 8 event happened that we did at Best Buy.
So yeah, New Leaf was in Japan was a 2012 release, and in North America was 2013. So it's been quite a few years now.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I guess that we had the Amiibo Festival and Happy Home Designer that kind of filled in the gaps a little bit, but, you know, not really. So I guess it really could be about time. You know, something else before we move on from Nintendo is...
Of course.
..that we haven't even mentioned mobile titles.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I don't know that this is where we would hear about it, but supposedly, the next mobile title is the Animal Crossing one. Maybe that would be the Animal Crossing that they would talk about at E3.
Yeah, and you say that, but, I mean, with how well Pokemon Go did, I mean, I know that's not really exclusively them, and that Super Mario Run was a pretty good success. Fire Emblem Mobile, which I can't even remember the name of right now, was a success, relatively. So, I know that they maybe historically announced these things at more, like, mobile events, but still, it's their game.
Yeah, well, let's move on a little bit. Let's talk then about Sony. And, you know, they are going to be doing the same thing they always do on Monday the 12th of E3 at 6 p.m. Pacific. They will be doing their PlayStation event at the Shrine Auditorium in L.A., the same venue that they've used for last year and the 2 years before that. So I would expect that they will be doing their usual streaming, like, theater thing, I assume. But I'm curious. Slaggy, what are you expecting out of this event? What do you think they will be doing?
I mean, we know they made a lot of announcements last year about what's coming
that
up.
That still haven't come to fruition.
Right, so I feel like we're going to get a focus on that. Like, here's so-and-so to do some gameplay footage.
God of War, Days Gone, Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
But what are you thinking? What else are you thinking then?
I mean, I don't think that the Vita is even going to be mentioned.
That seems like a safe bet.
I don't know, because on one hand, I feel like, was that even at E3 last year where we got Final Fantasy VII Remake? Or was that at their Sony PlayStation Nation event?
What are you talking about? Where it was announced?
Yeah.
That was at E3, but like 2 years ago.
Right, okay, so like I feel like, so it was that and Last Guardian.
And Shenmue 3.
Like, I feel like...
Last Guardian came out of the three.
Right, I feel like that year was the only one where I was like, really what they just did that? I guess I'm not historically surprised at what Sony does. And so it kind of makes it hard in a way to really be like, oh, what might happen? I mean, I'm sure they're going to have some big third-party thing, like an EA or an Ubisoft, that they'll be like, oh, we're going to have another look at that. That is a different level that you didn't see during the Ubi or EA. You know, it's like, I feel like that's kind of the way that they tend to go more towards. Maybe some PS2 classics or whatever that people have been excited for.
Well, then maybe this will be more interesting for you then. What would you like to see announced by Sony at E3? What would you like to see? Not just announced. What would you like to see?
I mean, I'm still holding out for Jammer and Lammy 2, but
Okay.
I mean, with Project RapRabbit, I'm doubting that that's what Nana Onsha is going to be focusing on.
Well, hey, we did just get that HD re-release of Parappa the Rapper, so the dream is not dead.
That's true. You know, I guess I just feel like in some ways, Sony's first-party titles are a little bit less of a big deal. I mean, maybe just for me.
Well, I mean, for the gaming industry at large, I think they're a huge deal. God of War, Days Gone, Last of Us 2, those are all going to be huge titles in this industry. But they're not the kind of titles that either of us are really personally interested in, or that we typically talk about show.
Even with Microsoft, I'd be more interested in, like, Forza or Halo, which, I mean, neither of which are games that I really spend a lot of time with. I mean, let alone play my Xbox One. But, you know, I mean, I feel like if what I really want from Sony is something unexpected and fresh.
Knack 2.
Oh, why would you even say that?
Knack 2 is a real game. That's happening. I'm not sure why.
That's a choice.
Right?
I mean, I guess what I would like to see is, are they going to keep supporting PSVR? Because
there's been very little for months. And, you know, that thing's still selling. It's crossed the million mark. They say that by the end of the next fiscal, they want to have 2.5 million sold. I have to assume they're going to give it some software support, but where is it?
I mean, I haven't been motivated to pick one up yet, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get news of more of these PSP HD remasters. You know, we have Loco Roco coming. We've already gotten Parappa the Rapper. But I'd also like to see other games get that treatment. I'd love to see an Jammer Lammy HD. I'd almost like that more than an Jammer Lammy sequel right now, just because it's so hard to play Jammer Lammy these days because it has no kind of like lag correction. So playing it on the PS3 as a PS1 classic can be a real struggle. It's basically PS Vita or, you know, expect it to be awkward.
Pretty much.
Other stuff I would love to see out of Sony, I hope they have new exclusive stuff for Destiny, obviously in Destiny 2, and I hope we learn about that a little bit. Definitely hoping for updates on Final Fantasy VII Remake, Kingdom Hearts 3, but like you were saying, Saggy, you know, it really is, I'm not that interested in Sony's first-party stuff. It's just not really my thing.
I mean, here's the thing. I buy Nintendo consoles for Nintendo games. I buy Sony consoles for third-party games for the most part.
Right? And I buy Xbox consoles for Rock Band?
Yeah.
That's basically. All right, well, let's move on to Microsoft, speaking of the devil. Their E3 stuff, we don't actually have... Oh, yeah, we do. Excellent. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Well, you know, they're saying that they're not going to be showing Halo 6.
Yeah, quite interestingly, and I'm having some browser issues here, so if my talking is kind of disjointed,
and
assume
just to show you how
computer issues.
How disconnected from the Halo franchise I am. I thought Halo 6 was already a thing.
You're thinking of Halo 5, or possibly Halo Wars 2, but 343 Industries has confirmed they will not be bringing Halo 6 to E3, but they will have something at E3 that they're bringing. It's just not related to the next major entry of the franchise. So maybe some DLC for 5 that is yet pending. Maybe some DLC for Wars 2. Either way, their press briefing is slated for Sunday, June 11th at 2 p.m. Pacific.
I'd be very surprised if their focus isn't the Scorpio, because...
No, their focus is definitely going to be on Scorpio. And, you know, if they really wanted to snatch the crown, they could work with, you know, Square Enix or someone, get a presentation on Kingdom Hearts 3 or something, show content that won't be present in the PlayStation version, or that will just look much nicer on Scorpio, and to some degree, people would look at that.
Moana level exclusive, timed exclusive for Kingdom Hearts 3 on Xbox One and Scorpio.
If you had said Frozen, I would have been like, well, that's the platform I'm not getting it on. Let it go, let it go.
And you know, I'm like, speaking of oceans, Rare has that Pirates game that they're still working on that actually looks like it's shaping up to be a lot of fun.
Oh, indeed. That's a really good point. I think we'll hear more about that.
And
Age of Booty? Is that Age of Booty? I might be making up a name for this poor game.
Age of Booty is, you just let the cat out of the bag, Captain Spike. It's our Kickstarter that's going up for our pirate-themed game. I mean, now we have to
make... It's Sea of Thieves. I don't even know where I got Age of Booty from.
Well, now we have to make a game called Age of Booty. Like, that's kind of have to be a thing. That being said,
apparently Age of Booty was a... Oh, yeah, it was that Capcom tactics game that was pirate-themed.
Oh, well, poop. It's good to see at least that Rare isn't... Well, I mean, I was going to say Rare isn't regulated to making Kinect games because LOL Kinect.
Yeah, I am. You know, Microsoft is even harder for me than Sony to talk about. I expect we'll also hear about whatever's next for Forza. I think we'll hear about whatever's next for Killer Instinct. I would love to hear more about... I would love to hear about, like, the future of Sunset Overdrive or something.
Right.
That would be awesome. It's so funny. Phantom Dust, obviously one I both expect we'll hear about and hope we'll hear about. They did kill the complete remake, but we're still supposed to be getting that, like, awkward port/remaster. So I would definitely like to hear more about that. I would also love to hear more about their backwards compatible catalog with 360 titles. That, for me, actually remains the main reason why I encourage people to buy Xbox Ones. For the Xbox One S, you know, it's a pretty good 4K Blu-ray player. Right? But I don't really have a whole lot to say about Microsoft otherwise right now. I'm still really salty about how they treated Scalebound.
Fable?
Or, dude, right? Like, dude, I liked Fable Legend a lot. I'm mad about that still. So, you know, because it was in beta for so long. Project Spark, another one they pulled the plug on. I'm kind of salty AF at Microsoft still. They're going to have to do some work to pick me back up. What about you? What are you hoping to see out of Microsoft?
Yeah, like, Microsoft is just in a very weird place right now because I feel like, you know, it's funny. We were having a conversation the other day about how if PlayStation wasn't doing, you know, pretty well, that Sony would not be doing very well. I feel like Microsoft doesn't really need Xbox. I mean, their Surface division has been doing pretty well for them, as far as I know. So do they still need to be making Xboxes? But then they're focusing so much on the Scorpio. I mean, I almost feel like, I mean, this is not really the future of Microsoft episode, but they'd be better off just making Windows PCs, but, like, you know, kind of like a Steam Machine Windows PC. You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they've really tried to push the cross-play or whatever they call it, Xbox Live Anywhere, Microsoft Anywhere, Everywhere, whatever it is. And so I'm just kind of interested in what is Microsoft going to be bringing that's going to keep them relevant? I mean, where's the HoloLens or whatever that's called? Or, I mean, I'm not even going to make a reference to a Luma Room anymore because every time I bring it up, you laugh at me, so.
Well, yeah, because it was obviously never going to be a real thing. I don't care how much they claimed otherwise. It was obviously never going to be a real thing.
I mean, I guess they've got Minecraft that's still a big money maker for them, so.
Yeah, right? I've been playing a lot of Minecraft on my Nintendo Switch, though. I hope they don't waste time on it at their conference. Otherwise, I'm just going to be like, hey, this really makes me want to play more Nintendo.
Yeah, so I don't know. Microsoft's hard to predict because, like, what do they really have in their roster? Or, I mean...
Right? Like, I might not give a shit about The Last of Us 2, but I know that Sony's going to talk about that, and it's going to be wildly successful for them. And, you know, good for them. Microsoft, like, no, they have, like, five franchises I can think of, and otherwise,
they could bring back Viva Pinata.
Aw, dude, I would be so into that. Like, you're joking or whatever, but, like...
I thought Viva Pinata was really cute.
Yeah, I would absolutely dust off my Xbox One for Viva Pinata 3. That, for me, would be a no-brainer. All right, well, let's talk about some of the smaller ones, then. Ubisoft, EA, Bethesda, and the PC gaming presentation. PC gaming is easiest, of course. What are you hoping to get out of that?
Oh, wow. I mean...
It's hard to say expecting, because when you're dealing with literally every PC publisher, you can't really expect shit at that point.
And the thing is, I feel like last year was such a big year for PC gaming. I mean, Civ 6 came out, and that was a big one. So I kind of don't really know what the big, you know, next Buzz title is going to be. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing that awesome lady from, is it NVIDIA or ATI? I never remember.
I don't recall. I think she was from AMD.
Yeah, but I love when she comes and shows off the latest graphics cards. Like, I don't know. I always enjoy her presence at these for the past couple years.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. The PC gaming one is kind of weird for me because I, even though, you know, I've become a lot more of a PC gamer, there's still a lot of PC gaming that I don't really have a huge interest in, I guess. And so then, you know, you'll see a lot of these things that for me, you know, for me as a podcaster is good to be familiar with, but it's kind of like not relevant to my experience. And they'll be not like, oh, this blah 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 FPS game and this game. So I mean, I'd like to see some Blizzard presence. I'd like to see, you know, maybe a big Overwatch announcement. I don't know.
Yes.
Because I feel like, you know, Heroes of the Storm just got a big, you know, it's big update. But I feel like people have been kind of waiting for, like, the anniversary content. Am I right for Overwatch? Like, it's turned a year old and there's not really been anything huge.
Well, we did get some indication this past week that there will be an anniversary event.
I mean, this would be a great time to announce, like, a co-op mode or something. And the thing is that people already flocked to that game without it having that. But I think that a lot of people would really enjoy, you know, and I know that they've done, like, they've dabbled with it with events, but, you know, like a story, even a story mode. But I mean, even then, they've worked a lot of story into that game. I just saw an article about how Overwatch manages to pack story into its world without being a story-driven game. But anyways, I'm kind of digressing. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I look to Blizzard, Firaxis. I feel like, I don't know, I don't really follow The Sims anymore, but I feel like maybe like a SimCity. Aren't we kind of overdue for SimCity?
SimCity is another franchise that EA has on ice right now.
After that kerfuffle, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a whole thing, unfortunately.
So, yeah, I mean, what about you? I know you're one who maybe is a little more of a PC gamer than I am.
Yeah, I mean, my struggle, again, like I was saying, is that for me, typically the PC spotlight is, or PC gaming show or whatever, I typically can't really predict what they're going to show. I just end up surprised by it all.
And I mean, I think the thing is that it's still such a new event that we haven't really been able to see patterns aside from a super cool AMD lady.
Yeah, right.
Showing her stuff off.
Well, maybe it'll make a little more sense for us to talk about Ubisoft. What do you expect to see out of Ubi?
Well, we have that buzz. Oh, I guess does this kind of spoil our,
you know, we'll just talk about it here then. Rather than talking about it as a rumor, let's just talk about it here.
Has it. So we know that there's a lot of indication that Assassin's Creed Origins is coming.
And this is the game that Kotaku had leaked literally 2 years ago as Assassin's Creed Empires, I believe they were calling it back
right,
then.
Right, the Egyptian-themed one, so.
Yeah, it looks like the game has filled out. It's now being known as Assassin's Creed Origins. It will have, like, ship elements in it, because apparently you'll be able to sail up and down, like, the Nile and the other, you know, waterways of the region. And supposedly, the game will be so enormous in its world that you'll even be able to go from, like, Egypt to Greece.
Wow.
If that's real, that's going to be a hell of a game.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is that when we were talking about Breath of the Wild, which I know has nothing to do with Ubisoft, you know, about how there were elements in Breath of the Wild that reminded me of Assassin's Creed. Like, you know, the climbing and kind of the exploration parts. Definitely I felt some seeds of that from Assassin's Creed. If Assassin's Creed really went more open world, I mean, that could be a real benefit for it, because I feel like Assassin's Creed always gave you the illusion of being really open world, but then, you know, it was just in between, you know, then you'd have to travel in between the towns, possibly with a shitty stagecoach ride. And I mean, really, you were just in these, to be fair, beautifully rendered cities and, you know, given a lot of freedom. But I mean, from what I've heard, it sounds like they were saying that they're looking to make it more emergent gameplay.
Well, yeah, and you know, even higher-ups at Ubi have said that on the record, that when we see the next Assassin's Creed, we'll be really thrilled by sort of the emergent stories that come from each of our own gameplay experiences, which which does sound very much akin to what Breath of the Wild did within Zelda and made Zelda more palatable for a lot of us. So I do think we'll hear a lot about Assassin's Creed Origins. What's unfortunate, of course, is that a lot of people are saying that Assassin's Creed Origins will not be appearing on the Switch. And for me, that's such a colossal boner, because, like, I would buy this game on Switch day one. I would happily run and jump and explore and swim and boat. As it is, though, if I have to play it on one of my other consoles that I have to be in front of a TV for, and I know how Ubisoft games price drop, I probably will not buy it until 60 days in when I can get it for $20.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just hard for me to make TV time at this point in my life right now. Hopefully that changes at some point, but while it's like this, I play games on the Switch a lot and games on my other consoles 10 hours a week, maybe, if I'm lucky. So I can't dig into every game I want to play. And Assassin's Creed is a good example of a game that I like, but can't really prioritize making time for.
And I mean, I haven't played an Assassin's Creed game since 4, Black Flag, and I haven't finished one since the, I'm trying to remember if I finished 3. Oh yeah, because, no, I don't think I even finished 3. I think I got kind of close. I don't even remember 3 was a shit show, but,
Yeah, they kind of went off the rails at 3, I would say. But, what was it? Syndicate, I think it was, I really enjoyed, so I would really like it if Assassin's Creed Origins could come out on Switch so that I could play it right away. But otherwise, I'll get to it when I get to it. It looks like a cool game. We'll definitely hear a lot about this at E3.
And
I expect to also hear a lot about whatever the next Just Dance game is.
Oh, yeah.
If the Mario and Rabbids crossover game is real, we'll hear a ton of it from Ubi. I'm still wondering about the Switch version of Steep and if the other console versions of Steep are going to get DLC at some point, because I feel like those games dropped and then just vanished.
Well, didn't someone die related to Steep?
Related to one of the ad campaigns for the game, yeah? But it was not, like, directly related to the actual game itself.
And I mean, I feel like we got a lot about Far Cry last year, right?
Oh yeah, that, and I'm sure we'll hear about whatever is coming up in the world of Far Cry as well.
I would like to hear, I don't know if I'm kind of going out of order, I'd like to hear about another Blood Dragon game.
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
Like, what would they do Blood Dragon for next? I would love Prince of Persia? Prince of Persia Blood Dragon. I was going to say Assassin's Creed Blood Dragon, but kind of the same thing.
Right? I would love to see something about Prince of Persia. I don't I don't expect we will, though. I think that's one that's on ice for a while.
Yeah. I feel like that's been on ice since they tried to reboot it.
Yeah, I liked that reboot a lot, but, the actual real ending was DLC, which was shitty. And for whatever reason, the market just did not pick up that game like I thought they would.
I would like to see a resurgence of their 1998 PC title, which was later adapted for 2000 for Game Boy Color, Laura's Happy Adventure, which was part of the Playmobil.
I definitely think we'll hear more about the Shattered Butthole.
Oh yeah, because that got pushed back quite a bit, huh?
Yeah, it did. I'm wondering if we'll hear anything about the future of Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs 2 did well, but still underperformed after lofty expectations. I played it, though. I thought it was a really solid game.
How did For Honor do? I feel like it would be too soon for them to announce a sequel anyway.
Well, I agree there. I do think we will hear about new content for For Honor, because, it has a new patch coming out this week. So it's still a game they're supporting. It was received all right. I didn't really get into it. It's not really my kind of game, per se. But I know that it does have a fandom, so I have to assume they're going to do something for that pillar. Because it was successful. It sold, like a million units worldwide, so...
Yeah, I feel like a Tom Clancy thing is inevitable, because there's like at least three different Tom Clancys, right? Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon, what else is there?
Well, there's The Division.
Oh, yeah, so I mean, I feel like some Tom Clancy...
And The Division is sort of floating in nebula right now, like, we don't really know what's going on with that. Like, there have been some indications that maybe they're going to be pulling support for it, but there have been some indications that maybe they've gone back to the drawing board for a sequel, so I it would be interesting to see if that comes up in conversation.
Yeah, I would like to see something new coming. I mean, I guess that would be whatever the new Rabbids thing would be, but like, I'd also kind of like to see something else from Rayman, because I feel like they kind of milked Rayman Legends for a very long time.
Hey, we still have a Switch version coming.
I know, that's the thing, so...
All right, well, then let's move
is
on
Beyond
to...
Good and Evil 2 ever going to actually happen?
You know, there was a lot of indication that it was coming as a Switch-timed exclusive, or I should say a Switch-exclusive timed or otherwise. Maybe this will be the time that it pops back up. That's a good guess, actually. I think that's a very good guess.
And, you know, they had some successes with, like, Child of Light and things like that. So it would be interesting to see what's Michel Ancel's new studio that he like partners with them, but it's not officially an Ubi studio.
Wild Sheep, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, are they still working on that game Wild?
I don't know.
Like, I feel like I haven't really heard anything about it since earlier, like at the very beginning of this year. Michel had posted about it on Insta or something, or maybe Twitter. But either way, like, I feel like I haven't heard anything about it other than that one blip on social media in years.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. Let's talk about Bethesda, who, you know, they always do presentations.
And they had a big year.
They had a huge year. And, you know, keep on going. They just released Prey. So I'm expecting we'll see some DLC for that, some kind of post-release support.
We got Skyrim coming for Switch.
Skyrim for Switch coming. There's been a lot of buzz about a Evil Within sequel.
Interesting.
So I'm wondering, you know, if they're going to announce it, if it really is just bubbling under the surface. I think E3 would be the time for it to pop up. But what else? What else are you expecting or hoping for?
I could see some sort of little content for Fallout 4. I mean, obviously it's way too soon for Fallout 5. Way too soon. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised for a little bit of content from that. Dishonored 2 flopped, right?
You know, it didn't flop. It's just another one where the sales expectations were super lofty. It did well. It sold a lot of units, but not as many as they thought it would.
Yeah.
That's actually a huge issue in AAA gaming right now, where basically everyone wants their game to sell, that be the next 10 million seller, and then when a game sells the appropriate amount for even, like, a good game, so, you know, still moving 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million and up, but not 10 million, it's being deemed a failure. And that's super toxic. That's not a good place for the business to be in right now.
And we just had a recent Doom release, so I feel like we had a Wolfenstein release teased.
Yeah, I think Wolfenstein is probably the next of their big pillars to see some love. You know, we did just have the Old Blood a couple of years ago, but, you know, that was kind of a smaller expansion. I think that we're going to have to see some Wolfenstein love pretty soon.
And I feel like I don't think we're at Elder Scrolls 6 yet. I mean, I feel like they've been really trying to make Elder Scrolls Online happen.
That's a good point.
They tried to make that... What's the card game?
The Elder Scrolls card game. I mean, it has a name, but I don't remember.
Oh, wait, am I mixing that up with the Witcher card game?
There was also a Witcher card game, but there are card games for both.
I think I was thinking of the Witcher card game. Oops.
Gwent?
Yes.
Yeah, Gwent is the Witcher card game, but there is an Elder Scrolls card game.
Yeah, so...
That is Elder Scrolls Legends.
Oh, and that wasn't too long ago, was it?
Yeah, that actually just released for Windows back in March.
Okay, so I guess I was just kind of mixing the two of them up, but I thought so. That was kind of like a Hearthstone clone, right?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I feel like maybe Wolfenstein's really the only big one that we're due for from them. But I'm sure we're going to get, like, some new content announcement for Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just had a big update for Elder Scrolls Online. So, you maybe know, like we might not even hear that much about that.
Just a tease of what's next or something.
Yeah, they added the land from Elder Scrolls 3, I want to say. So at this point... You know, who knows what's next for
that? Is that Morrowind, or?
I don't know. It's not my series.
Yeah, I mean, Bethesda's one that I follow them, but I haven't really, you know, they haven't really been.
Well, the games do it for me. Like, I'll give them that, man. That Doom remake was fantastic. Prey looks really good. I'm really excited to dig into it at some point. I tremendously enjoyed The Evil Within. Really, really hoping Evil Within 2 is a real thing that we're about to see. So, let's move on then and wrap this up. Let's talk about EA.
Like, if we must.
Right.
Are they still, like, the worst gaming company to work for or whatever?
Well, what were we just talking about BioWare?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so,
FIFA.
Yeah,
FIFA,
we'll hear
FIFA.
About the sports games. I'm sure we'll hear about what's new for Battlefield and Need for Speed and The Sims in some extent. We'll definitely hear about something about Crysis. Probably hear about how Titanfall 2 is doing. We might get a bone thrown for us as Knights of the Old Republic fans. You know, probably a new trailer for a new expansion.
To the Old Republic?
To the Old Republic, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, just generally Star Wars. We'll probably get a ton of Star Wars stuff. Probably a ton of Battlefront stuff, since, you know, we know Battlefront 2 is coming. So I think that's a really good guess. You know, I don't think we'll hear much about stuff like Mirror's Edge, Dead Space.
Garden Warfare.
I think we'll hear something about Garden Warfare, but I would expect that to be like a Switch port.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I will be shocked if we don't hear about a Switch port coming out of EA for Garden Warfare, because they probably think that's the only kind of content they make that would sell on a Nintendo platform. If I had my monkey's paw, well, no, I mean, not a monkey's paw wish, I don't want that, but if I had three wishes from, like, a genie or something, we would probably hear about a new Dragon Age game. I feel like it's, you know, it's been a few years since Inquisition. I'd like to start hearing about what's next.
Yeah.
But EA is a tough one for me, because, again, right this very moment, I'm feeling hella salty about what they're doing to Mass Effect generally. Again, you know, Andromeda did well enough, and I mean, I've played it. It's a good game. It just sort of needs a lot of work still. But I don't think it's the kind of game that was, like, so bad you need to ice a series over it.
Yeah.
So I'm salty. I think I mentioned that, right, on this show. I played it for, like, 2 hours and then decided I'd wait until they finished patching it and finishing the game, basically. But I liked what I played of it. The actual gameplay seems like the best it's ever been in the series, which is a little ironic. The multiplayer stuff I had a ton of fun with in poking into. It's just stuff like, oh, there's not enough gay romances to get the romancing achievement. Oh, there's no gay romances with shipmate or with squadmates. They're all like rando NPCs. It's just little stuff like that really bothered me.
I feel like it's been a long time since we've seen anything from Dead Space.
Well, it has been a long time since we've seen anything from Dead Space, but Dead Space 3 was another instance where, you know, it sold well, but they expected more. So here we are.
Yep.
That's what Mass Effect is now. Have fun with that. All right, let's wrap this up. Saigi, overall, among all publishers, whether they're doing their own press event or not, what would make you the happiest to see come out of E3 2017?
Oh, I don't know. I just want a bunch of... I'm just going to be happy if we get a lot of Nintendo teases for 2018.
All right.
Like something like a Mario Party coming, you know, just some of the ones that we aren't getting year one. I just want to see a strong year two roster from Switch, and I think I'll be happy.
I'm gonna go big or go home. I hope we get a Final Fantasy 16 tease.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Could you imagine? I'd love to see Final Fantasy anything. You know, this is an anniversary year for Final Fantasy, and I feel like we haven't heard that much. Hearing about, you know, Dissidia coming to the West in some context, probably as a PS4 game, that would be really happy for me.
Oh, and Kingdom Hearts 3 for you.
Kingdom Hearts 3 would be everything. Kingdom Hearts anything. I'll take another side game. If they think 3 isn't going to be done until 2018, I'm not mad about it, but give me another side game, please. I'd love to hear more about Final Fantasy 7 Remake. I would love to hear about Final Fantasy anything on Nintendo Switch. Ideally, you know, including a new Theater Rhythm game.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to hear about a new Theater Rhythm game.
Well,
you know,
the arcade Theater Rhythm would be really easy. I mean, not really easy, but I mean, I could see it be pretty easy to bring over to Switch.
Yeah, I mean, any console that has sticks and buttons could get the new Theater Rhythm game. So, literally every console. And they should. And, you know, I say these Final Fantasy games, a lot of people out there might be thinking, oh, JRPGs, you'd be more likely to get that out of Tokyo Game Show. But Square Enix, I feel like, is the one Japanese developer that will make these kind of announcements even at E3. So, you know, that's why I expect that out of them. I'd love to hear more about some new Capcom fighting games. Obviously, I want to get more information on Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, so I hope we get that. I want Switch ports for fucking everything. I have already bought so many Switch games, and I'm just going to keep doing it, because unlike my other consoles, where I build this huge backlog. For Nintendo Switch, I often find myself on the train just like, hey, I have like 30 games downloaded on my Switch already. Which one am I going to play today? And it's delightful. I want to continue doing that. So for me, huge benefit for any publisher going to the Switch. I will buy your games there. Full tilt. They can be uglier. They can have fewer features. I don't care. I can actually devote time to playing
them.
It can
be Vroom in the Night Sky.
What was that?
It could even be Vroom in the Night Sky.
Dude, I bought that game.
I know. I was there when you did that.
Yeah, well, blame it on the alcohol. Anyway, those are my hopes. More fighters out of Capcom. More RPGs out of Squeenix. More Switch support from effing everyone.
It'd be nice to see some things from Konami.
It would. You know, they had said previously if Bomberman did well, they would look at other revivals. We now know for a fact that it by far exceeded expectations. So I want to see some more. Where's Castlevania at? Where's Contra at? Where's Gradius at? Just bring it all to me. Where's Silent Hill at?
To touch back on Capcom, I would love a Switch version of Crossbeats Rev.
Aw, dude. Switch in portable mode would be perfect for Crossbeats Rev.
And like, Voez has to be played in portable mode. You can't play it in...
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be unheard of.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, and I want all Capcom fighters. Like, Capcom needs to start bringing their older legacy fighters to Switch like yesterday. I already have, what, like 13 Neo Geo games on my Switch right now. Like, Capcom, get in on this, dude. Come on. I want to give you my money. All right. Well, that's about going to do it for this conversation. So let's move forward. I believe we have some social links, do we? Not this week? Well, you gave me a little signal indicating that you need another minute, and that's actually good because I was about to skip our what's up, which is how we wind down. Let's talk about it.
I said, hey, what's going on?
This week, I've been primarily playing Minecraft Switch, I've been playing Mario Kart 8, and I've been playing Garou, Mark of the Wolves, the Neo Geo Classic Fighter on Switch. I'm also still working on Kingdom Hearts 1.5 on my PS4. Kingdom Hearts is going well, but, you know, I as seems to be a major focus of my life right now, haven't had a ton of time to play it. Minecraft Switch, of course, I've been playing on my lunch breaks at work, I've been playing it on my commute to work and from work. It's only been out a few days, and I already have a pretty pimp little house built. I'm super excited. And Kart 8 remains a ton of fun playing online. I've been streaming with Slagkick here, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, Sulker from the Same Type Attack Bonus podcast. Just having a really great time playing Kart 8 online. Slaggy, what about you? What have you been playing?
It's been mostly Kart 8. I intend to pick up Minecraft Switch. I might do that tonight and hook up with you guys in Minecraft or whatever, or even not, just explore my own little world.
Awesome. But
otherwise, it's mostly just been Kart 8 this week.
Excellent, excellent. Well, all right, now, do we have any social links?
No, we don't.
All right, well then, let's wrap it up. Give me those solicitations.
We love your feedbacks. We love your iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio ratings and reviews and subscriptions. We like your Facebook likes. We effing love Twitter. You can email us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
And our home base is gamebuoy.org.
gamebuoy.org.
You can also hear us at the
Voice of Geeks Network over at vognetwork.com. And in addition to us, you can hear such fabulous shows as Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female's perspective on the world's most popular MMO, and Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom we steal so many of our cues. You can also check out myself and Shane Alenko talking about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series and the current season of the Super Sentai meta series, upon which it's based out of Japan, over on Ranger Pridecast. And wrapping up our lovely selection of VOG shows is the Starboard Power Coupling Podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. If you're a little more interested in just Nintendo, you can check out the Nintendo Love Fest, which does exactly what it says on the tin. If you're into comics, you should check out their sister show, X Nation, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. Last, and probably least, is Slagkick's show, Reading is Fundamental, where myself, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness talk with Slagkick about the current season of RuPaul's Drag Race. And since there currently is a season of RuPaul's Drag Race, that is an active show you could check out right now.
I feel very attacked right now.
You are being very attacked right now. Well, Slaggy, take us a place.
Game Bar is the gay video game prairie home companion and a part of the Hunty Bunch, along with Video Game Realness, serving up a dose hosts of Gaming Chit Chat Among Friends. The Joystick Jockeys, DJ and Ruben, are two LGBTQ gamers who love games and love talking about them. And our allies over at the Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop punk. I'd also like to direct you to our sister shows. Anime Buoy is your port of call for anime recommendations and discussions that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. And the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, or Stabcast for short, your twice monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon, which we host along with Trainer Salker. Also, our wonderful theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, the project that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music into gorgeous symphonic sounds. They closed their doors quite a while back, but will forever be pouring out a 40 into the Great Fairy Fountain.
Brilliant. That about brings us to the end. Thank you all so much out there in Internet Radio Land for listening to us this lovely Sunday afternoon. I hope you've had half as much fun listening as we've had talking. We'll be back at you either next week and or the one after. Until then, keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And, Hikari no Yon Senshi, Final Fantasy Gaiden.
Daddy of Light.
Ah! All right, mics are hot.
Hot.
I had forgotten the mic check. If you could speak into your mic for me, that would be very helpful.
Okay.
Talk a little more than that.
Talk. Talking more than that.
All right, very good.